This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
It's a Thursday, so we welcome Dr. Wendy Christian, health coach and wellness practitioner at Integrated Health Solution. Dr. Wendy, good morning. Great having you with us.
Good morning, Brad. It's lovely to be with you.
Good, good. We should have been speaking about ways to keep warm, the kind of foods we need to keep warm this morning.
It really is chilly.
It is. I've been on this this cortisol train. I've been reading the stuff you've shared with us in the past and looking at my own life a little bit and wondering how are my cortisol levels. If you're wondering what's cortisol and how do I deal with that naturally, make sure to check in on our podcasts and you can find out last week's conversation, Natural Ways to Reduce Cortisol. I just want to touch on one thing before we move on, Dr. Wendy. How can we, in the area of stress, manage our blood pressure? Because I'm thinking if I'm very stressed, my blood pressure is going up. First of all, is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. Well, there's a possibility. So not everybody will experience high blood pressure, but it certainly can be a trigger for elevating blood pressure. So we certainly want to be able to manage that. So first of all, we need to be measuring it. So we need to be checking what is our blood pressure actually doing, especially if you're going through stressful times, because it's one of those things that you don't necessarily know about. Many people have elevated blood pressure and are not aware of it. So yeah, checking first of all would be the best way to go about it. You can buy a blood pressure monitor from a pharmacy and you can check it yourself. Otherwise, you can go to a clinic or a doctor and it can be checked for you.
I just want to touch on that. Maybe this will be a precursor to a conversation we can also have into the future. But we often ignore checking blood pressure because we can't really tell if it's up or down unless we have it checked.
Yes. Yeah, so that's very true. A lot of people don't really realize it. There are certain people that will have symptoms, but you know, you might be a headache sufferer anyway, and you can't differentiate between a blood pressure headache and a normal headache. And there are sometimes telltale signs, but not always. So it is definitely something that we need to be looking at.
So what's a good way then in the context of stress to how can one manage one's blood pressure if the stress is pushing up that blood pressure?
So exercise is one of the most important things that we can do, but the type of exercise is important. So we don't want to be doing exercises that are going to push our blood pressure up even higher. So we want to do slow, intentional movements. So things like walking, yoga, Tai Chi, anything that's calming for the nervous system, Pilates, all of those kind of exercises that involve breathing and intentional breathing. Those are going to be good for our blood pressure.
Are there ways, you know, they say laughter is the best medicine. I mean, I don't know if that's contrived to say, but I mean, to find yourself in to look for the good, to have a positive outlook, to connect well socially, to you know, having a good laugh. I mean, can those things seriously also help to reduce our blood pressure?
Absolutely. So those are very important because they actually boost the production of nitric oxide, which is a very important element that helps to dilate our blood vessels and keep our blood pressure on the lower side. So all of these type of interactions, apart from the serotonin that gets released and dopamine and all of those good healthy brain chemicals, it plays a very important role in our arteries and our vascular system to keep our blood pressure under control.
Is there something that one can eat that will positively affect your nitric oxide levels?
Yes. So dark chocolate and beetroot, anything in the beetroot family are good sources of nitric oxide. And as I said earlier, the nitric oxide is also very good for your circulatory system. So if you've got a healthy circulatory system, then you can have a healthy blood pressure.
What about particularly now as we head into the winter time? It's cold out there. We're having the how many a cup of coffee. Is drinking coffee, can that affect your blood pressure?
Yes, it can. So caffeine is a stimulant, as is alcohol. So we want to limit the intake of both of those. I think in winter, we have to be a bit cautious about the amount of coffee that we're consuming because we are, you know, cold. And I think looking for other alternatives for coffee will be better because too much coffee is going to stimulate the nervous system and can spike your blood pressure.
One of those things, and with this insert sponsored by Manna Health Products, they actually have a fantastic product that I'm a massive fan of called Manna Brew. which is something you can check out as well. Manna Brew is a caffeine-free coffee alternative, which is something we have at home, which I really enjoy. Wendy, when it comes to our gut health, now that is where we, and if you're wondering, what's the connection between gut health and stress, go and check out a part one of our stress awareness conversation. You can find that as a podcast. How can we support our digestion and our gut health naturally? What can we do, and how can we eat, and what should we eat to take care of the gut? Because if we take good care of the gut, that's also going to have a better effect on our mental health.
Yes. And if we remember, we spoke about the gut-brain connection, so that's very important. Mm. And if we are in a fight or flight mode, our body is not going to necessarily produce the digestive enzymes that we're needing to be able to digest our food. So we want to go into rest and digest. And to do that, we need to be able to eat in a relaxed state. Mm. So to get there, you know, if you've had a hectic day and you fly in the door and you gobble your food down in you know, a few gulps, you're not going to really have the benefit of the digestive processes taking place so that that food can be digested and the nutrients used up for your body. Mm. So we want to get into that relaxed state. So being mindful of what we're doing, what we're eating, smelling our food, looking at our food, breathing in, getting ourselves into that relaxed state, giving your partner a hug or a kiss, you know, being having some playtime with your children before dinner. All of those things will be very helpful. We're coming back to that social aspect as well. Help to bring us into a relaxed state. Mm. And if we can do that, it helps our bodies to be able to eat that food a lot better. Also, if we are eating, we need to look at our food. We need to be actually focusing on that plate of food. We shouldn't be watching television or doing some work or doing something that is distracting us from actually registering that food is coming into our bodies.
Wow, I never thought that. I mean, I know it's good to sit and rather sit around the table and eat, but this idea of being mindful while eating, that actually improves your digestive state. This is fascinating to me. So we need to be, I guess, more mindful when it comes to enjoying our meals and the people that we get to eat alongside.
Yes. And that social aspect is so important. There's so many studies that have been done that show, you know, that it doesn't matter what you're eating, but the relaxed social atmosphere at the dinner table is what really helps for good digestion and good digestive well-being.
Dr. Wendy, what about prebiotics and probiotics for gut health and therefore also lending itself to good mental health?
Yes, so our gut is very important for our physical and our emotional well-being. And so making sure that we are consuming enough of these probiotic and prebiotic-rich foods is important. So things like kefir and yogurt and kimchi and kombucha, we need to make sure that we're having enough fiber in our diets. You know, if we're eating lots of processed foods, we're not getting enough fiber in the diet. Our brain chemicals are produced in the gut. So if we're not eating the right kinds of foods and we don't have a healthy environment, we're not going to have enough serotonin. We're not going to have enough of the other brain chemicals that help to keep us feeling well-balanced and not stressed.
What are some of the good natural foods that we can eat? I know one can take a probiotic supplement and a prebiotic supplement, but what can we get from the food we eat?
Well, if you're eating fruits and vegetables and you're eating a variety of fermented foods and you're eating colorful foods, those are all going to give you the nutrients and the fiber that you're needing. If we think about processed foods that doesn't have any fiber in, too much protein is also quite deplete in fiber. Fats don't have any fiber in them. So the places we're going to get those fiber and good probiotics and prebiotics is from our vegetables and from fruits and from fermented foods. Mm.
Just on fermented foods, I'm quite keen on trying to get into kombucha a little bit. I think it's the one thing that I would like to try. But whenever I read the ingredients, I'm always seeing tea there. And I'm one that I don't want caffeine in my system. So is there any way one can avoid caffeine in kombucha, particularly the bottles and tins that you can buy in the store?
From the bottled varieties, I think they always use black tea.
Yeah.
But if you make it yourself at home, you can make it with rooibos tea. Hmm. I've made it before with rooibos tea, and it ferments just as well. Ah. So you can use a caffeine-free alternative. I haven't tried it before with any of the other natural teas, but it does work well with rooibos tea.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there. We're plumb out of time. We always get into this groove, Dr. Wendy, where we're really tackling one area, but there's always more to talk about. We might have to take this into a record-breaking part five. So on that, I'll end with this. Are there things that we can that can soothe the digestive tract, things that we can eat or drink or add into our meals or into our routines that can soothe the gut?
Yes. So there are probably many. I'll name a few here. But foods like, well, not foods, herbs or spices, whatever you'd like to call this, like ginger work really well.
Mm.
Herbs like chamomile, peppermint tea works really nicely as well. If you think about turmeric as well, turmeric is another one. So those are the kind of foods that will help to really relax the digestive system. If people have a struggle with indigestion after dinner, having a peppermint tea can be really helpful. Mm. Ginger helps to increase the transit time of the food from the stomach to the duodenum and the small intestine. So having some ginger tea, if you sit, you know, if you're feeling like your food is still sitting in your stomach way after you have eaten, taking some ginger tea can also help to move it along so that it can go into the next process of digestion.
Yeah, thanks, Dr. Wendy. I love that we can have an entire episode here talking about stress relief, and all we did was talk about digestion and gut health and eating in a relaxed state, and we're already going to be tackling reducing stress. This idea of the brain and the nervous system and the gut combination, this, how it affects the other, fascinates me no end. I'm so grateful we can have these conversations, Dr. Wendy, and we can connect more next week and wrap up the series around boosting our mental health in this area of stress reduction. So thank you so much for your expertise and all of this practical help. And to our listeners, check out the podcast later on this morning and make sure to share it. To you, Dr. Wendy, have yourself a wonderful, wonderful Thursday, and thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, Brad. Have a great Thursday too.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.